We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. That fine gentleman over there, the one, the only, still the incomparable, albeit a bit under the weather, Dan Rubenstein. Sir!
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. All things considered, come on. Life is all right. I am a little bit under the weather, as you can probably tell, just from listening to my voice. But a few things can also be true. One, had a pretty good weekend. Two, ate some pretty good food. Three, it appears sun is on the horizon, figuratively and literally, in the next coming few days. And four, I get to see you in, I don't know, what, 72-ish hours?
72-ish hours. We're looking at? Yeah, we're recording this on a Monday afternoon. This show is going to drop for all y'all, the general public, those yes. who aren't registered at verballers.com. It'll drop on May the 3rd.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to be getting together in New York. We're going to do our Brew and A in person on Friday.
Yes.
I'm excited to see you. It's been 2 years. Hopefully you feel better by the time you make your way over to the East Coast. But nonetheless, I'm excited.
I will say, if I get a better offer... which is an easy way to transition. If I get a better offer to go to Henderson, Nevada, to Issaquah, Washington, to Santa Cruz, California, to Amarillo, Texas, to Bradenton, Florida, I mean, how am I supposed to turn that down, Ty, in this age of college football and what I suppose is college football podcasting?
I mean, I think it's fair to say, it's fair to ask. Welcome back, one and all. Today, we continue our spring snapshots. We're going to be talking about Alabama, Florida, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Virginia Tech. In whatever order we please, we did not have a chance to go into much detail on any of those teams. The show that you're going to hear on Thursday is going to feature Georgia, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Washington, and the University of North Carolina, UNC. As it were. So 10 more teams coming at you. Dan and I have been busy doing our research over here, trying again to suss out what's in focus, what remains blurry in the wake of these spring football games. We're doing our best to at least give you something of a primer as we get into the long, cold month of college football that is May.
Yeah.
Before we start to build to our crescendo towards the latter half of June and into July with previews, and then through August, and obviously the start of the season, Labor Day weekend, once September rolls around. So stay put, stay tuned. We're excited to be with you. This episode, all our episodes, driven by our good friends over at Geico. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button if you have not already. We do broadcast twice per week here in the off season. There is a third bonus show called the Brew and A that is available to our Patreon subscribers out on verballers.com. 2 weeks ago, I did a show with Mama H.
You
last
did.
Week, We had, what was your mild convenience bracket?
Minor convenience
Minor
bracket.
Minor convenience bracket.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Thank you. Things that are sort of acts of God that you just are very fortunate, whether it be short lines or parking. And we had 16, I believe, entries into the minor convenience bracket. And that was a good amount of fun.
A ton of fun. Verballers.com. We've also got some bonus content that we're always on the precipice of dropping, not the least of which is Extra Nuggets, our limited run podcast. Ooh. That we drop throughout the month of March. You can listen to that again.
Yes.
At Verballers.com. And last but not least, we've got a new Solid Giveaway. Go to solidgiveaway.com. Congratulations to our winner of the Ole Miss helmet, David G. And
nice.
Now, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, which is thematic because we're talking about Tech on this show, we're giving away a signed Frank Beamer Virginia
Ooh.
Tech mini helmet. I've got it downstairs. It's very nice. We're going to ship it out to the winner at the end of the month. So get in now, solidgiveaway.com. You just got to go through a few quick and easy steps to get your name in the hat. And
yep.
We'll pick that winner in due time. That's all there is
to it. Could we get a Dilly Bar Dan signed Minnesota mini helmet?
Dilly Bar Dan?
You remember Dilly Bar Dan?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely.
What are you talking about, Ty?
No idea.
Dilly Bar Dan was the, I think, Minnesota adjacent staffer who was eating a Dilly Bar, an ice cream bar, in the pounding snow a while back.
I don't remember this.
Really?
No.
Oh my God. He was seen as sort of an upper Midwestern icon for saying snow and cold weather bother me so little that here I am being snowed upon and eating an ice cream bar on the sideline of a Minnesota game. I'm surprised you don't remember this. This guy he's a total legend. And as far as I can tell, has not been milkshake ducked, but perhaps he has been. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to send you a picture of Dilly Bar Dan right now. And you tell me. If it's something that you're like, oh, right, this guy. Oh, right, Dilly. Because this guy is our people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know this guy.
I know that guy.
All right. Where should we start? Or do we have any more housekeeping you want to get into?
We do have a little bit of breaking news.
Okay.
In a sense, it's not really breaking,
yeah.
But it is notable.
Okay.
We had the Scott Frost news. We had the Jordan Addison news.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Scott Frost thing first, Dan. He gets a show cause. Is that correct?
Gets a show cause, gets hit with a fine, with some assistant, number of assistants on field coaching suspension for not that long. I think part of it is during the championship period of the season. So, yeah, I don't know if Nebraska will be... occupying our hearts and minds during that time, but perhaps we'll be proven wrong. It was a cursory glance I caught at it. It apparently is about an analyst going over the top in terms of his role coaching and not just behind the scenes.
Okay. All right. So. It just mounts more for Scott Frost in his pivotal year coming up here in 2022. We'll see. Okay. Secondly, the Jordan Addison news. Jordan Addison, star receiver for Pitt, one of the top receivers, certainly this past year, definitely this coming year as well. Jordan
yeah.
Addison, rumors circulated throughout various points this weekend that Jordan Addison might be on the verge of entering the transfer portal, seeking an NIL deal, or maybe the NIL deal sought him out. I don't know.
Sure.
In either case, potentially going to USC.
Yeah.
This, of course, as you might expect, triggered a bit of a tidal wave throughout college football media, throughout college football in general, because Jordan Addison's a big name guy.
Sure. Won the Biletnikoff.
Obviously, his quarterback got drafted into the league. His offensive coordinator went to Nebraska, and he's in a spot now where he's trying to increase his professional development as best he can.
Sure.
That was how I saw it phrased and characterized.
Yeah.
Whether or not anything amounts from this remains to be seen. But as you might expect, yeah, there was a lot of swift reaction to this around the college football world. A lot along the lines of, is this what we want college football to be? A lot along the lines of, okay, free agency has now struck college football. Without a question, Dan, NIL has taken us to a new place. My expectation is that there will be many more situations just like this, some of which we'll know about, some of which we won't know about.
Yeah, it feels like three things can be true at once situation where the NCAA neglected to evolve for so long and fought expanded financial pursuits by football players or athletes of all kind for so long that when they were forced into having to basically concede that their own pursuits were unconstitutional and voted down by the Supreme Court, and just they spent so much time, money, and energy fighting it that when it came to pass, there was nothing that the NCAA or any governing body was ready to accomplish in terms of, here's how it works. Here are the rules. Here's the calendar, blah, blah, blah. And so there is, it's a fair point by some smart people, not everybody's smart who's talking about it, by some smart people who are talking about it that say, like, there are no set rules and regulations contractually with teams, contractually with sponsors or name, image, and likeness. And now there's collectives and who's bargaining on behalf of these players, who's poring over the contracts. All of those are fair points. But the NCAA had a long time to themselves evolve into the reality that college football, college basketball, men's and women's, were growing into full-on professionalized sports. And so as we've seen bigger and bigger names hit the portal, maybe not so big names at the time, like, did we really know who Jameson Williams was when he was at Ohio State, kind of buried in that on that depth chart? No, many of us did not, but he popped at Alabama when he had that opportunity. Now we see what Jahmyr Gibbs and Jermaine Burton go to Alabama, Henry To'o the year before. And so there is a lot of the hand-wringing about the rich getting richer and being able to plug in holes with the stars that are developed by lesser programs. And I understand that frustration. I think that's a valid frustration point, because to me, I'll speak for myself, I think I speak for you on this note, part of the national appeal of the sport is the lack of concentration of star power. That you have stars at Pitt, that you have stars at Washington State, that you had stars at Toledo, that you have stars at Texas Tech, that there is that the tapestry of college football stardom, even if those teams, thank you so much. I was hoping you would notice.
Tapestry
that college football is more than the sum of its parts, that it's this entire quilt of crazy excellence. And so it is a bummer when there's a more of a concentration through the transfer portal than there already is on the recruiting trail. That is a bummer. I get that from a fan's perspective. And it's not just that fans as a whole expect there to be parity in the sport, but that this is further concentrating power, and that if you're a Pitt fan, if you're a whatever fan. That said, we haven't really done much to corral coaches moving about the sport or coming up with guardrails, because contracts don't mean much when you can just buy them out, right? That you can throw money at any situation with coaches, but you can't throw money at any situation with players moving around. So I understand the frustration from all parties. I just think the governing body or bodies, be it conferences in tandem with the NCAA, had time to figure this out and opted out. And so all the media types that are saying something must be done, is this what we want college football to be? They're directing their frustrations at the wrong people, to me. And that a lot of that is like, oh, it's the adults that are guiding these players. Like, no, those are not the people that we should be focusing our ire on, because they are just existing in the reality, just like all of us are. And so I think a lot of the frustration is misdirected of like, is this what we want college football to be? Like, it's fine. It doesn't mean it, like, if Jordan Addison ends up at USC, maybe their offense is better, but that's not the issue with USC. It's going to be there for a year. It's not going to change the sport fundamentally, this one move. The thing that changed the sport fundamentally is the NCAA and all of these conferences in line with TV not doing anything, trying to milk the status quo for as long as humanly possible. And then when it couldn't do it anymore, then it's the people who are representing those places saying, what's going on? What are we doing? Is this what we want the sport to be? Is this? I know this is really troubling. And it just rings hollow to me.
I just don't think, if your problem with it is that it's different.
Yeah.
And it feels different. And it's not college football that you're accustomed to from the 70s, 80s, 90s, or early aughts.
Right.
I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Sure.
I understand the frustration as well. If you're a Pitt fan, this sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. I totally understand the argument out there about, hey, how's Kansas going to compete with Texas, Oklahoma? I get it.
Sure.
I get it. Certainly a Kansas or whoever, a smaller program, does not want to turn into a feeder program for Alabama.
Right.
They don't want that. Nobody wants that. I suspect in due time there will be some additional guardrails put up for this, but I do subscribe to your line of thinking. The NCAA saw this coming a million miles away.
Yep.
They had decades to plan for this. They chose not to. They opted out. When they put their rules up, you'll recall we had Matt Brown on this program and he described it better than we ever could. When they put the NIL rules in place, they had two options. A, you can be really rigid with it. B, you can say, let the boys be boys.
Yeah.
Let them play. They let them play. They didn't want to be involved. And so here we are.
Yeah. It's one of those things. And by the way, you also see, and I forget where I saw this or else I probably would most certainly call out the specific person because I don't want to create a straw man argument here. I just forget because I'm dumb and old now, where people are referring to the sport as if there is an organization that oversees the sport exclusively, right? Like the sport college football needs to figure out, like, what is college football? What are you talking about? Nobody's in charge of the sport. College football needs to, is it a consortium of university presidents? Is it a consortium of conference commissioners? Who is the sport?
I think a lot, at least twice a month during the season,
yeah,
about that quote, the timeless quote from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Of course, a classic.
The engine's running, but no one's behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I feel that way often about college football, especially at times like this, be it the playoff, be it NIL, be it the transfer portal, be it the way this sport has gone. Everybody wants to make more money. Everybody wants to make this bigger. Nobody really wants to be in charge. Eventually, that could come back to haunt them. Perhaps this is an instance where it has, but this is the way that the NCAA has chosen to play it, and here we are.
Yeah, by the way, just as you were mentioning and tying together Nebraska and Mark Whipple and Pitt, Mark Whipple got his salary doubled to go to Nebraska to call their offense. Jordan Addison's quarterback, in pursuit of his own future well-being, decided to skip his team's major bowl game, which is okay. But now Jordan Addison, in pursuit of his future well-being, allegedly has an opportunity or opportunities that have him questioning his future home within the sport. I think it's all right. I think it's all right, even if I understand why people are frustrated by it. So it's a wild time, and that's kind of good for us.
It's good for us, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we do have an offer to Chip Patterson on the table. Is that correct? Is that? No? Was I not supposed to mention that?
I don't think we can say that publicly.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Damn.
All right. Well, look, write in solidverbal@gmail.com is the email. I know people are boisterous on the subject. There will be a lot of folks who agree and disagree. We welcome all your feedback. We really do. It is meaningful.
Yeah.
So send us
totally.
Tweets, send us emails. Even if you vehemently disagree, we do want to hear what you have
That's
to say.
That's fine.
It's perfectly
fine. At least call us handsome and then disagree. So you sort of puff us up a little bit so we're not as hurt that you disagree with our takes.
Handsome Dan. Do we still have the puddle of mud sounds anywhere? Do you have those at the ready?
I think, is this puddle mud? Yes.
Thank you, Dan. What we've been doing. What we've been doing here throughout the month of April, now the month of May.
Yes.
Going through some teams that are of interest. We're diving deep. We're looking at the Alabamas of the world, trying to figure out what's in focus after spring, what still remains blurry, and what kind of conclusions can we draw moving forward throughout the summer months as we get into the true preseason later this year? Let's just circle the wagons here for a hot minute and figure out where things stand within each of these programs. So not necessarily providing all the answers, but at least giving you an update on what some of the questions are slash aren't at this critical juncture in early May.
All right, where are we starting?
Do you want to start with Alabama?
Sure. I would love to. Tell me about the Tide.
I just mentioned the Crimson Tide. So, Alabama played their A-Day game, as it's known, back on Easter weekend. Do you remember the episode of The Simpsons with Mr. Burns and the softball team?
Of course.
It was a little bit like that. a little bit like that because it's just a team of killers. Yeah. It's a team of killers, and they're probably going to win the SEC, at least the SEC West, let's say, not to offend Georgia folks. Probably make the playoff, maybe the title. They'll get seven more guys drafted next year, and then we'll be right back here next May, and the cycle's going to repeat. This is where we're at with Alabama football at this point, for better or worse. So what's in focus, I think, at this very early juncture is that Alabama is starting with an embarrassment of riches.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the deal, as you know, for like, what, the last decade?
Yeah.
Frankly, it's sort of like cliche at this point.
Yeah.
It's a super talented Alabama team.
What's interesting? What's new?
What's interesting is this. Let me continue on my plight here.
Okay.
What's interesting as a starting point is that you've got both Bryce Young and Will Anderson back. Bryce Young won the Heisman. Will Anderson, by many folks, should have been more in the running for the Heisman. So whenever you start there with those two guys,
yeah,
your floor is like 10 wins. Don't cry for Alabama. Your floor is 10 wins.
Yeah.
What we got a little bit more clarity on, I think, in this game is what it looks like behind Bryce Young. Behind Bryce Young, it seems clear that Jalen Milroe is going to be the backup quarterback. Bill O'Brien really liked what he saw from him. He had like 180 total yards, something like that. It sounds as if, per Nick Saban, they may end up drawing up some packages specifically for him that they'll use during the season, regardless of whether or not Bryce Young is hurt or healthy.
Right.
They just like what they saw from him. They think he gives them a lot. So that's interesting. It's interesting to see that they might try to use his services, even though he's not the starting quarterback.
Right.
I was looking hard at the margins here. It is Alabama. This is a really good team. Three areas that to me are, I guess, a little blurry. The first thing is the receiving core.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams, John Metchie, gone. That's 250 targets walking out the door that they need to replace. Now, Jermaine Burton comes over via transfer from Georgia. He figures to be wide receiver one. But it is sort of an open question beyond him who the names are going to be and in what order they're going to fall. Christian Leary had a really good game. Really nice spring game, something like 10 targets. He had a 57-yard touchdown pass. Perhaps he will factor in. Perhaps some of the freshmen coming later this year will also provide additional support. For whatever it's worth, and again, I recognize this is spring and you can't glean too much into spring. Bryce Young did seem a little bit out of sync here. With new targets out there, he forced some passes. It's all going to work itself out eventually.
They lost a receiver to Texas, right? It was kind of kicked off the team. Yeah, Hall.
Right.
J.A. Hall.
It's all going to work itself out in time, but
yeah,
for whatever it's worth, he did seem a bit out of sync. Still looks very good, but was a little bit out of sync. What I do think you'll see, and what I've seen a few folks comment on, and perhaps some of what Bryce Young did in the spring game is indicative of where they're headed. I think Cameron Latu will be a little bit more involved, the tight end, will be a little bit more involved in the passing game this year. I think Jahmyr Gibbs out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Yeah,
is another name to watch, right? We're going to talk a lot about Jahmyr Gibbs. He was the MVP of this game. He broke off like a 75-yard touchdown run. He looked really, really solid, the transfer from Georgia Tech. But Nick Saban's really keen on the skill set that he brings out of the backfield. And yes. So in lieu of some concrete names out wide, you've got Latu, your big tight end, who was productive in the postseason catching touchdowns. And then also Jahmyr Gibbs, who comes over from Tech, who we know is a dynamic player. That can cover up some warts in the downfield passing game, as it were, as it relates to wide receivers until you sort those names out. So a little bit blurry, a little bit uncertain, but it's Alabama, and yes, they have options. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
No, the offense should be terrific, and you have the continuity of B.O.B. back calling the plays and more comfortable with what Bryce Young can and can't do, and mostly that's can.
Sure.
You know, new left tackle with Evan Neal off to the NFL. That's
where I'm going to go next.
Affect the rhythm of things, but, you know, Alabama has, this is by their own standards, a little uneven at developing top-level offensive linemen, especially on the inside at times these past few years, but still, you know, again, at that standard. But yeah, I mean, I'm still not terribly worried about
No, I'm not worried offense. Either, but you bring up the line, and the line is my second point of blurriness, if you want to call it that. There were 15 sacks in this game. Bryce Young took 10 of them. Most of that was pressure from the edges. Now, look, they weren't playing with a full deck here. There were some guys who were out. Obviously, Evan Neal got drafted 7th overall by the Giants. So they're without him. They're going to have to replace that production. It is unclear whether or not it's that the line is still developing and that they were just without guys, or if it's because the defense is so damn good.
Yeah,
it could be that the defense is just so damn good. Yeah. It doesn't matter who it is. Nobody's going to block them. So a little blurry. They got to figure out the line thing. I think they will in due time. Again, it's Alabama. Depth is not usually a problem there. But if any indication, the spring game, yeah, there was a lot of pressure on all of the quarterbacks in this game, 15 total sacks, and they're going to have to figure that out in time for the season. My hunch is that it won't be that bad once we get to September, but just a talking point. And then the third and final thing that I'd mention, and it's not really a point of curiosity. It's not even really that blurry. It's just a uniquely Alabama problem at cornerback. Pete Golding, their defensive coordinator, said that he's most concerned about the cornerback position.
Yeah.
The problem for everyone else is that this isn't really a problem for Alabama. The problem is that they've got three guys who could all be cornerback one. Could be Kool-Aid McKinstry. Could be Kyrie Jackson. Could be Eli Ricks, although he recently got arrested. Just saw that today, which is not good for his standing in this race. But all three of those guys in some way, shape, or form could end up being the first cornerback. Just because they don't know how they stack up, I assume that's why Pete Golding's a little bit unnerved by the position group at the moment. But clearly they have enough talent that by the time the live bullets start to fly, they will have this thing in good working order. They still have Jordan Battle, by the way, at the back end of that defense, which tends to, again, paper over some sins. So I feel pretty good about Alabama. There's no reason not to. But at least as the spring game goes, those are a few areas that I think we demand more answers throughout the rest of the preseason here as we get closer to Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, I mean, since 2018, Alabama has not really fielded a top 10 defense. This is, again, by the Alabama standard, that the Alabama offense has been so explosive that it does put its own defense into a bit of a predicament by being on the field as much as they have been at times. But counterpoint, Will Anderson can get you off a field pretty quickly. So
Will Anderson.
So I am not terribly concerned about Alabama because, I don't know, when you have a weapon like that and when you've built up the depth that they have, especially you mentioned Jordan Battle in the back end of that defense, it's still a question. Like, this is as interesting an offensive SEC as we've had now. Arkansas has a lot more firepower.
Totally.
Ole Miss obviously making quarterback transition, but Mississippi State should be dangerous. A&M, LSU, dangerous in their own ways that they have experience, but we don't know exactly what either of those teams are going to be doing offensively. But it's as intriguing a depth of offense in the SEC as we've seen in some time. So that just puts more pressure on the Alabama defense. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating.
Why don't we take that as our cue to go over to Florida?
Let's.
You mentioned depth of offense in the SEC. Billy Napier taking over in Gainesville. This was his debut. What was the general vibe on Billy Napier after whatever you want to call this?
I think people are pretty high on Napier and pretty excited about Florida football. Now it's year one. Anthony Richardson is the guy. Emory Jones hasn't transferred yet, but announced his intention to transfer. It might be a graduation thing. He's waiting to graduate. There's interesting talent at running back. They lose Jacob Copeland to Maryland. Line is wait and see. Defense is wait and see, especially after losing some key transfers, especially at linebacker. You know, there's talent on both sides of the ball, but in terms of game-breaking electric dudes, there's potential but not obvious answers. And so I think because at least the offense will be based around a high, high ceiling guy in Anthony Richardson, and with the optimism that comes with hiring a new head coach, and he brings in his guys from Louisiana. Patrick Toney's done a really good job with Louisiana defense these past couple years. They were a top 20-ish defense, I believe, these past couple years, or at least last year. that they're going to be in a good place. It could be, looks like Montrell Johnson might be the strongest option out of the backfield. He comes in from Louisiana for Florida, replacing Damian Pierce. And they've had a lot of dudes in Gainesville recently. And so those guys were a little bit more obvious, both in the offseason and in their potential, be it, you know, Kyle Pitts or Kadarius Toney, whoever, that with Florida starting over, there is that sense of, okay, we don't know exactly who it's going to be and how it's going to go, but we were so tired of the week in and week out drama of, and that was more defense than offense, of the Dan Mullen era, that we're just excited to see what a full-fledged Anthony Richardson team and offense can look like. So Florida's in that interesting place. You know, they've had some interesting transfers, you know, especially at running back, and they've lost some key guys, and, you know, Kyir Elam just gets drafted in the first round, a corner. I think they'll be all right. I think Florida fans will be relatively forgiving in year one. But in terms of the spring, it seems like, you know, it's hope springs eternal.
I'm curious to see what kind of commentary we see around culture.
Sure.
Culture. It's the favorite topic of the new coach.
Yeah.
Always and forever. Getting guys to quote unquote buy in. To the extent where it needs to be one of our fantasy things this year. I told you earlier.
Yeah.
But especially in a year where we've seen so much movement on the coaching front, culture is something that a lot of folks are going to talk about. And I think it's actually quite pertinent. For as much as I poke fun about it, culture at Florida was something that was lacking under Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Whether it was in the recruiting game, whether it was just about getting guys to go out there and play hard. There were games last year where they took off. They took off. They didn't care. We were calling them the 1-2-3 Cancun team of the week.
Yeah.
A couple times over. So one thing you know about Billy Napier, his teams at Louisiana did not have that problem. They were ballers. They played whistle to whistle. If he can instill any of that at Florida, and of course we can't really know that after a spring game.
Right.
But that is what I'm most interested in seeing come the fall. If he can instill any of that in this Gator squad, they'll be better for it.
Yeah, I think he will. I think it's just going to take a minute, especially it seemed like there's a lot of enthusiasm around the program. There was something like 300 plus, I don't know if it's recruits or prospects, a ton of former players and coaches were back. Like, there is more of an electricity around the program. We'll see how that actually manifests on the recruiting trail come December, in the early signing period anyway. But yeah, I'm hopeful and optimistic that Florida's trajectory is going to a good place. It's going to take a minute to actually figure out what you do and don't have and navigating the portal and all those types of things. But no, I think they're in a strong medium-term place.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's go. Let's do Ohio State.
Oh, I would love to.
Let's follow the Urban Meyer pathway.
Yeah.
from Florida
Jack,
to Ohio
it's
State.
A reverse Jack Miller who just transferred to Florida from Ohio State.
Reverse Jack Miller. Ohio State had a fitting, touching tribute to Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
As part of this game, they had the video, CJ Stroud wore his number, there were decals on the helmets. I thought it was a nice tribute after the untimely passing of Dwayne Haskins, a longtime fan favorite.
Yeah.
So hard to kind of watch that, but at the same time, I thought a nice move from the Ohio State University to honor Dwayne Haskins. Hard to come away too disappointed as an Ohio State fan, unless you were expecting to see star power on display in the Ohio State spring game, right?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud played 5 drives, and that was it. And then they pulled the plug. Guys like Travion Henderson and Jackson Smith and Jigba played even less. Mm-hmm. Trey Henderson played 7 snaps. JSN played 16 snaps.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. You don't want those guys getting hurt. They're the foundation of your team, of your offense.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. For what it's worth, Ryan Day seemed very pleased with himself, was very happy with what he saw. The sense that I get from watching the highlights, from reading commentary on blogs, and then from looking at coaches' comments after the game, even the blurry parts for Ohio State are mostly in focus, which is a great place to be when it's May, right? Even the blurry parts seem in focus. For example, they just lost on back-to-back picks, on picks 10 and 11, 204 targets in the form of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, who were first-round draft picks into the NFL. For most teams, that's a catastrophe. To lose that, first off, most teams don't have that level of receiver in their receiving room to begin with.
Correct.
On top of JSN. But to lose that kind of production, it's like, that's all we're talking about in the offseason.
Yeah.
Not really the case for Ohio State.
No.
It's a concern. It's a concern. Hell, look at Bama. It's more of a concern for them. But if you look at where Ohio State's at, they're just sort of going to roll with Marvin Harrison Jr. They feel confident that he's going to be their guy. Emeka Igbuka.
Yep. Both made plays in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Yeah.
It factors in that he's probably going to be the number 2 or number 3, depending on how you categorize it, because they're probably still going to play JSN in the slot, right? Like, it could be him, it could be Julian Fleming, but they just have guys. And it's sort of that next man up mentality that I think gives them a great deal of confidence. They feel pretty good about where they're at receiver despite that loss. And it's sort of like that across the board. The first team for Ohio State is kind of set at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're coming from a really good spot if you feel like that's the case across the board. Much of the conversation post spring game was not about, hey, who's going to be the starting whatever? It's who's going to be the number 2.
Right.
Who's going to be? Kai Stokes was great at safety. He can be the backup. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was the whole conversation. And that's why I think I like Ohio State, not to get too far out over my skis here. That's why I like Ohio State to win the Big Ten. Because the conversation in May.
What a dramatic call from you.
I'm really going out on a limb. I know it. The conversation is less about players and it's more about scheme.
Sure.
Because we know the first teamers. What we don't know is what's the defense totally going to look like under Jim Knowles.
Yeah.
I know what he wants to do. He said what he wants to do. He said, believe it or not, he wants to play a more aggressive brand of defense.
Have to.
Which they all say.
Yep.
Without fail. He talked a little bit about wanting corners to play tighter, wanting them to be more aggressive, throw a couple punches, right? All the normal cliches apply. Mm-hmm. I guess we saw a little bit of that maybe in the spring game. We'll find out a lot more about that. Again, once the actual football and actual season get kicked off later this year. But in terms of where the conversation's at this point, I think it's a lot around depth. They like their top line. I think they feel confident about who their starters are going to be. The Jim Knowles thing is still a little bit blurry, but for whatever it's worth, he was also pretty pleased. Quote unquote, very pleased by what he saw. And that's about as enthusiastic as anybody's going to get at this juncture in spring. So Ohio State fans, I think you've got a lot to be excited about. Evan Pryor, by the way, like speaking of depth, they've already got two really good running backs. Evan Pryor looked awesome in this game. Now they have three. Now they have three. That's the conversation for Ohio State. It's about stacking guys on top of other guys, building depth to an unhealthy level that nobody can compete. And you have to feel good about where they're at this coming season, provided the defense takes a step forward, which I think it will.
I was going to say, if guys in that front on defense, and they got better at it over the course of the year, at least until that Michigan game, remember which gap is theirs and are able to maintain a position therein, they'll be all right. But we saw a lot exploited against Oregon. We saw a lot exploited over the course of that game against Michigan. And so with a new defensive coordinator, I know it was a new guy calling plays either after the Oregon game or shortly thereafter.
Sure.
But that's the big thing. It's just learning, applying, executing. Same goes for everybody, but it's weird to talk about Ohio State's defense, which has been one of the surest things in the sport this past decade or so, that they were a squad that struggled with that last year, that it's just, you know, Kerry Coombs was not the long-term top flight answer at defensive coordinator, for as much as he contributed to that program, was not the long-term answer. And Jim Knowles, by every indication with what he's done recently, more specifically with fielding a top, whatever, 5-6 national defense last year at Oklahoma State, should be that guy to get things organized and should be that teacher to help right the ship in Columbus.
Despite all of the hand-wringing over Ohio State's defense, their ranking as a defensive entity per the SP Plus was still 20th.
Okay.
20th in the nation. That was not without brain farts, okay? There were brain fart moments, especially in defending the pass. The pass is where they need to get better.
Yeah, the secondary fell off for sure.
Secondary fell off. But I think the larger point here for Jim Knowles, everybody wants a shutdown defense. Everybody wants that without exception.
Yeah.
Marginal improvement. Marginal improvement on the defensive side of the ball makes this team unstoppable. Unstoppable. And so if he can get them there just a little bit more aggressive, they're going to have a good pass rush. That will help. Just marginal improvement, especially in that secondary, makes this team unstoppable. We'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I feel pretty confident that I'm right.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of movement along in the secondary, transferring out. And I don't know if that's a numbers thing overall to get down to proper scholarship numbers, but you know, Marcus Hooker, Seven Banks, guys like that, you know, have struggled these past couple of years. And it's a new era. It's a new era. And I'm seeing, by the way, 38th in defensive points allowed per drive in 2021. So by whatever metric, it definitely fell off.
It fell off. It's not the worst.
Not the worst.
Could definitely be better. So we'll see. Let's stay inside the Big Ten. Speaking of new eras, Dan.
Yeah.
The Mel Tucker era in East Lansing started with rave reviews. Rave reviews. And now the conversation going into 2022 is, can they take another step forward? Can Michigan State take another step forward? They were kind of a surprise team last year in many regards.
Uh-huh.
What, if anything, did we learn in our spring snapshot of Michigan State?
I mean, Peyton Thorne's the dude at quarterback, obviously. Jaden Reed's the guy at number one receiver. We'll see at running back. Jalen Berger comes in from Wisconsin. Jarek Broussard will come in from Colorado, who is the 2020 Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, and obviously goes back with Mel Tucker from his time at Colorado. Amir Speed comes in at cornerback to help
Amir
shore things up.
Amir Speed? I love it.
Amir Speed. Perfect. Yes, at corner.
Perfect.
A need for speed position, because Michigan State really did struggle in a lot of wide swaths of the season defending deep balls. And we saw it exploited crazily against Purdue and Aiden O'Connell, and like just Ohio State destroyed Michigan State through the air. And just that seems to be the one weakness, and they're trying to shore up things up front. They're bringing a Florida transfer on one of the edges. Like they are addressing things. And I think a big one is going to be replacing Kenneth Walker, although it's not a huge, huge deal. You know, the offensive line, you weren't able to glean much from spring, as you're not for most of these schools, because they're either beat up and not going to risk anything with offensive linemen, or they're splitting them up. And so you get a lot of twos and threes sprinkled into the mix for split squad matchups. But no, the big thing is going to be getting more of a pass rush and being better deep against the pass. You know, there's still interesting quarterbacks in the Big Ten. And so Michigan State, you know, credit to Mel Tucker, he is not going to moralize about, is this what we want football to be? He has been a portal aggressor. And that to me is going to be fascinating as Michigan State tries to address its weaknesses, especially on defense, especially getting after the quarterback. And on offense, seeing who emerges behind Jaden Reed at receiver, because I think even if that's secondary and even if the pass defense improves to, say, average, they're going to need to continue to score points, which I think they're going to do. But it's turning. I think at times they were reliant a little bit too much on generating that one explosive play to score points and figuring out a nicer balance between, you know, explosivity and efficiency on that offense. And as they stack the running back room, as they get deeper at offensive linemen, as they hit the portal to address some weaknesses, I think they're going to do it. I really do think they're going to do it because I like the proactivity of Mel Tucker and his staff. So they're in a good place, and it's going... I'm still a little bit hesitant about putting Michigan State, despite what they won there, whatever bowl it was last year. Was it the Peach Bowl? What bowl did they end up in?
Right.
I'm a little bit hesitant just because Michigan State had a little bit of an element of smoke and mirrors to their wins, which when you're clunkers, winning is better than losing. Not faulting them, but I want to see more sustained high-level play, I think, from Sparty, which... I honestly anticipate.
I think what we saw last year was a revelation.
Sure.
It was a revelation. And there were a lot of guys on that team. Kenneth Walker III, obviously, had a huge impact. He was the focal point of that offense. But there were plenty of moments where Peyton Thorne was huge.
Yeah.
Came up huge. To an extent that was unexpected. Peyton Thorne, I remember this time last year, we didn't know a lot about Michigan State. Not the least of which was, is Peyton Thorne going to be any good? We had no idea. Peyton Thorne threw 27 touchdowns last year, had 10 picks, was not always the cleanest quarterback out there, but still completed 60% of his passes. If he can take a step forward, and if they can continue to have that running game, be it through Jalen Berger or anybody else, as something they can fall back on, this is not a team that is short on effort. I talked about culture earlier. These guys bought into Mel Tucker rather quickly. And they played hard from whistle to whistle. They were never out of a game. Just look at that Michigan game.
The churn has been interesting. 18-ish players have left the program, which is almost to be expected when you have a new coach. Some guys are going to say, okay, I'll give them a year or two and see how I feel. So 18, I think, was the number I saw, but it's around that have left the program since, I think, late in the season last year. Another name to watch out for, and this is a big thing with defenses going from pretty decent to really interesting, is getting those the star power type guys. And Darius Snow is the name that emerged during the spring, a linebacker safety type hybrid, has experience at safety but was practicing with linebackers. And when you get those sorts of tweeners that allow you to do different things with the same personnel, especially with Mel Tucker's background, that's where it becomes a little bit interesting. So that's the name that a lot of people liked to have on their lips, the tips of their tongues this spring, Darius Snow.
Speaking of new eras, Dan, why don't we close out this podcast talking about Virginia Tech?
Let's
talk about Virginia Tech as we frame things in terms of in focus and blurry. I feel compelled to mention that pretty much the whole damn thing is blurry for Brent Pry at this point. It seems like he's doing and saying the right things, to his credit. For one, he brought back a lot of the old Letterman, Bruce Smith and Cam Chancellor.
That's such a fantasy thing.
Oh,
that's,
big time.
That's like, you know what? These guys haven't been around the program. The previous staff was
always here. You always hear they didn't feel part of the program.
Yeah,
that's
this
the
guy's
way that
going
they
back
characterize
to
it
their
all the time.
Roots. Going back. I saw that with Jed Fish in Arizona. You've seen it with Oregon. I don't know if Marcus Freeman's been bringing back the Notre Dame guys that Brian Kelly alienated. I'm making that up. But that's a big spring thing. The alumni are invested and feel
they're
part of the family.
95% of the time, you don't hear that about programs that are winning, do you?
No,
they
not
find
especially.
Ways to feel like they're part of the program when a team goes 10-2. But
yep.
No, they just didn't feel like part of the program.
Yeah.
Under Justin Fuente. For whatever that's worth, Brent Pry not making that mistake. Brought them all back.
Yeah.
Big old homecoming. Good for him. You know, you got to build relationships. You got to start somewhere when you're tearing this thing down to the studs and starting over.
Yeah.
And so good on him. I think that was an important move. He's off to a good start there. The Hokies lost some guys to the NFL from last season. They lost other guys in terms of just general personnel. maybe not NFL guys, but going elsewhere. And Brent Pry finds himself in a situation where he's trying to put a roster together. In many respects, he is starting from square one in that department. He is right now pulling that old move from NCAA 14 in the preseason or offseason. I don't recall which step of the journey this belonged to. But you remember the old position changes grouping? Remember
sure,
that step?
Yep.
He's doing that. He's doing that a lot, frankly. Mm-hmm. Connor Blumreich, who came over as a quarterback, he's now working out with the wide receivers and tight end. What else do we got here? We got Gunnar Givens, Keontae Jenkins, Lakeem Rudolph, Jordan and Jaden McDonald, Kelly Lawson, Bryce Goodrow. I'm sure I missed somebody in there. But there are a couple ways you can look at this. The first is that Brent Pry and, you know, his oversized hog, let's be real.
How dare you?
They're just
wait
better.
This long to mention, yeah.
They're just better at putting talent in the right spots. And Tech's going to be better for it. That's the more optimistic view.
Yep.
The more pessimistic view is he's only changing their positions because he has to, because he needs depth elsewhere.
Yeah, of course. You need guys.
I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I don't feel great about the position changes. This feels like a lot, especially in this case.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are changing positions. So it's fair to question depth. Hell, we've been questioning recruiting for the last 3 years under Justin Fuente. So depth kind of follows suit here. He's doing what he thinks is right. He's putting guys in what he thinks is their rightful position. But
yeah,
it's been a lot of position changes, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
By the way, in terms of spring storylines, generically speaking, the only thing more intriguing than like a bullet point in a beat writer's, you know, news and notes column, they're like, he's been working out at safety. He's been working out at receiver. He's been working out along the offensive line this spring, is when an athlete from another sport decides to give football a go. Like, hurdler coming in to take some reps at receiver. Basketball player coming in to take some reps at safety. Guy throws the shot put. What could he do at nose
and
tackle?
It's like the Drake London thing.
Oh.
Drake London,
yes.
Wasn't a full-time football player until ..
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, of course. But I'm saying specific to like a spring narrative that means basically nothing is taking some reps at linebacker. I love that so much.
There's a lot of that right now at Tech.
Yeah, of course.
Not necessarily guys from other sports coming in, but
yeah,
guys within the current roster being moved about and playing elsewhere. You see
sure.
it a lot. He's doing it a lot. Look, they're starting over. It's going to take a while for any of this to yield results, and I hope folks are patient with Brent Pry, especially on the offensive side. Look, I don't know what to expect offensively from this team. The whole thing seems blurry to me. Grant Wells looks like he's going to be the quarterback. He's the transfer from
Marshall.
Yeah, threw a lot, but yeah, kind of inconsistent in his own right, but he comes over.
Took a step back last year,
Yeah, it seems like he's probably got the nod at quarterback. There's an open competition at running back as well. Caleb Smith looked good out wide, but the top two receivers are gone. Brent Pry didn't like, he said openly, he didn't like what he saw from the line. So there's that. I feel like that's the one common thread. Nobody likes anything they saw from their line in the spring game. And that could be for a multitude of reasons, ranging from a bunch of guys were hurt to we lost guys to the NFL to maybe they're just not good. I don't know. But he didn't like what he saw. I actually really like Tyler Bowen, their new offensive coordinator. If you read up on Tyler Bowen, I really like Tyler Bowen. I don't know if he's going to be able to be as creative as he'd like, but he comes from good stock on that old Fordham staff. Go
sure.
Rams. And he was helping with the offense to the extent that anybody could help with the Jags last season. But I really like Tyler Bowen. I hope he's able to put some of his stuff in place. But it's a fair question to wonder. It's very blurry at this stage whether or not he'll have the tools to really succeed quickly in Blacksburg.
The weirdest thing about what's happened to Virginia Tech is how irrelevant to the college football conversation they've become.
They just fell off a cliff.
That they might as well be favored to win the Sun Belt this year. that nobody outside of Virginia Tech or perhaps Virginia fans, these are my words, does anybody have a Virginia Tech opinion in 2022? about where they stand within the sports hierarchy, which is nuts to say, with how much NFL talent, with how much intriguing offensive talent. I mean, the NFL talent has come largely on defense, but they've had game-breaking receivers and quarterbacks and linebackers and, you know, defensive backs, all from the same family, if I recall correctly. but Virginia Tech might as well be a USFL team right now. Hopefully that changes with Brent Pry, but that to me is one of the wilder regressions within the sport. It's just that nobody cares that Virginia Tech's good, bad, average, whatever, that the brand has taken such a hit. I'm glad they've welcomed back Bruce Smith with open arms. In fact, I would like every program to welcome Bruce Smith to the facility with that to me is the mark of a program heading in the right direction. Did they welcome Bruce Smith? Did Texas yeah. A&M bring Bruce Smith in? Did Minnesota bring Bruce Smith in and welcome in with opening arms? So good for Virginia Tech, the most meaningful of which of all the programs that should be concerned with Bruce Smith for welcoming back exactly. with open arms.
Exactly.
But no, that's the big thing to me is that the Hokies are just a non-factor. And I know, you know, to whatever extent we're responsible, we are because we host a show, but they just haven't been interesting.
Here's what will be interesting about them.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm, again, cart before the horse with this.
Yeah.
Brent Pry is a really good defensive coach.
Yeah.
There's enough back on defense, especially in the back end of that defense, to keep that side of the ball interesting. Up front, more of a concern.
Yeah.
But he's a good coach. He knows what he's doing on the defensive side of the ball, especially. I could see a world in which it's October, Virginia Tech's got a big game against, I don't know, somebody, whoever.
Yeah.
And the defense is interesting enough to keep the offense in the game. It could be that kind of year for Virginia Tech. Maybe I'm dead wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. But the vibes that I get is that, especially given Brent Pry and his huge Hogs pedigree, is that defensively interesting, paving the way for spots on offense if they can get a little bit more out of Grant Wells and however they construct the offense under Tyler Bowen.
Okay.
So I think if you're a Tech fan, you'll take that.
Yeah, well,
frankly, they've been there. Maybe not in that exact calculation, but they've been there where it's like they've been interesting adjacent. So to remain there in the 2022 season as a starting point under a new regime, you'll take that.
Okay. They open with Ricky Ronnie and ODU.
They do. They do.
And hold on. I'm going to get this right. Norfolk.
Norfolk. You got it. Yep. You got it.
Norfolk. Norfolk. Just no vowels in there. Norfolk. BC, Wofford, go Terriers. West Virginia, North Carolina, Pitt, Miami, NC State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Liberty, Virginia. Okay.
It's extremely workable schedule. Extremely workable.
That's what it seems.
But here we are.
Can I request, because we usually do this during the season, the secret verbal.
Oh.
That to see if anybody's still listening at the end of the show, we ask them to tweet a very specific message to very specific accounts and not trace it back to the solid verbal.
This was a secret to me, by the way. I didn't know you were going to do this, so I'm excited.
I just thought of it because of the conversation. I want people to badger the program of their choice on social media and ask them, why haven't we been welcoming Bruce Smith back with open arms? Duquesne football? Sam Houston State?
So this is more of an open-ended secret verbal.
Why are we not welcoming Bruce Smith back with open arms? Why are we giving all of that energy to Virginia Tech?
But give folks kind of a breed of Twitter user to target, if you will. Breed's the wrong word, but like, are we going after athletic writers? Are we going
after official school accounts and
official
school accounts and the, you know, athletic department intern that runs the account and just confuse them. Tulsa, why are we not welcoming Bruce Smith back with open arms? Cal, why Nevada? Why are we not Idaho Vandals welcoming Bruce Smith back with open arms?
I like that this is an expanded secret verbal. I like it. I like the cut of your
jib. You could tweet at whichever program you would like and very earnestly, without tracing it back to the solid verbal, ask them, what steps are we taking to welcome Bruce Smith back with open arms? That's all I ask. Is that too much?
I don't think so. I think that's all we have
on
the show today. We appreciate everybody stopping by. Stop back on Thursday. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, we'll be doing more teams. We've got five more teams queued up that we're going to discuss. Same level of detail, hopefully. Don't forget, going out to verballers.com. Dan and I are going to be doing an in-person show for the first time in eons.
I can't wait.
This coming week, our Brew and A, we're going to answer questions in person. I'm bringing this board. I don't know if you can see it on the camera. Bringing the board with me over to New York City. You and I are going to get together.
I'm going to eat so much pizza.
Looking forward to seeing you. It'll be fun.
Yeah, same.
Don't forget to go on out, follow our accounts on social media. We always say subscribe, but if you're still listening at this point, hopefully you like the show. One thing that would help us, go out to Spotify and leave us a rating. It's a new thing that they're doing for folks, but leave us a 5-star rating. That helps. It really does help.
All right, cool.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, we'll be back with you in a few short days. In the meantime, as always, you know the deal. Stay solid.
Peace. Your invite is open, Bruce.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.